Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our Wednesday evening Under the Radar podcast, recording to you, for you live on tape delay here on Wednesday, December 8th, a little after 9 p.m., almost 9:30 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined in my setup here by Rocco Miller, joining us from bracketeer.org, and down below us, the puppet, David Griggs.
I'm here.
This is the Under the Radar show, and I guess we'd like to start off for those of you that have never seen this before. I guess the first question is, why haven't you? But the second thing is, let's tell them what Under the Radar means, Griggs.
Well, it's essentially, in short, it's the 22 regular one-bid leagues. There are 10 multi-bid leagues. It's the five power conferences. That's the Big East, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, and ACC. The Big East, also arguably a basketball power conference. And it's also the Atlantic 10, the Mountain West, the West Coast Conference, and the American. Those are teams, or those are conferences that are typically going to send more than just the conference tournament winner to the NCAA tournament. Everybody else is under the radar. Now, there's no rule, and if you watch this show, you know this. There's no rule that says these conferences only get the conference tournament winner. In fact, we're going to talk about a lot of teams tonight that we don't think have to, but 9 times out of 10, or at least 4 years out of 5, that's the only one these leagues get.
Absolutely. And what we like to do is we go through all these conferences. There's 22 of them in total. We go through them in alphabetical order. Other than that, we like to have a feature conference at the start of the show, each of these shows. And I guess, why don't we just go ahead and get right on into it here. And if I get my screen share to work, which sometimes happens and sometimes it's just a complete nightmare, but we're going to go with our feature conference of the day. And I thought that today we should feature, well, maybe not 100% under the radar, but the newest conference that we are following here on Hoops HD.
Oh, the Beehive.
There it is. The Beehive Conference. If you watched last week's show, we brought this up at the end of the show that we need to start featuring this conference a lot more. And here it is, Griggs, the Beehive Conference. The 7 teams from the state of Utah, technically, you know, BYU, Utah State, Utah may not be really under the radar, but they're under the radar for today, right?
Well, the conference is, you know, it's under the radar leagues. And then I guess, what do you call them? Mythical conferences. This really is, if there's any rules for a mythical conference, this checks all the boxes. The teams regularly play, and they regularly play home and home. You know, BYU went to Southern Utah the other week, or Utah Valley, excuse me.
It was last Wednesday, so it's not on the screen there, but that was the big upset. Utah Valley, huge, huge home win, thrilling win over BYU. That was the... I guess there weren't any other conference games here in the past week, but there are a few going on tonight as we record this, actually. State, BYU, and I believe we've got one other. Is it
Utah Valley, Southern Utah tonight.
Southern Utah. So those are both going on tonight. So if you're watching this, you'll know those scores as well.
You know, this conference does get an automatic qualifier. The winner of it will go to the NCAA tournament, almost assuredly.
Yeah, and Rocco, but you look at this conference even more, though. Look at the way these teams are performing. We could really have 4 or 5 bids out of this conference. Seriously.
You really could. I mean, Utah State's already positioned themselves for an at-large type resume. Obviously, BYU should get there. And then you look at a Weber State team that has been far and away the best Big Sky team early on. And even if they get nipped in the Big Sky, the next most likely team to do it would be Southern Utah. So, you know, really a good chance to send the Big Sky representative out of the Beehive State this year.
And don't forget Utah Valley at 7-1. It looks like a contender in the WAC this year.
Yeah. And the best rebounder in the country by a mile. And, you know, coached by Mark Mad Dog Madsen. So you got a rebounding coach and a rebounding machine player. It's pretty fun team to watch.
We do have two. I guess Utah State's playing their first conference game tonight against BYU. They've got another conference game coming up against. I just saw on the screen there, but against Weber State on next Wednesday too. Hey, Griggs, I need to give a shout out to our good friend John Stalica. He hasn't been on the podcast this season, but he found this for us. It's been 10 years since it happened.
This is incredible.
Absolutely,
be ready
true.
To be blown away. You don't know,
it ran for about 50 or 60 years. They stopped it about 10 years ago, but the champion of this mythical Beehive conference every year would win And here it is, the Old Ochre Bucket. That's how you pronounce it, by the way.
Where did they come up with that sequence of letters? That doesn't even look like it spells an actual word. That's the name of the PI trophy.
It's actually a mountain. It's a mountain in Utah. It's named after it, but it's the Old Ochre Bucket. Rocco, I've been doing a little research. I haven't found it out yet, but I've been in contact with Utah State already, who was the last one to win it. We got to find where the bucket. What happened to the bucket? Where is it?
Oh, we got to find out.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that. I'm actually planning to be in Logan next month for a game. So as long as I can get up there, I will try to get on campus a few hours early and ask around.
Absolutely. They were the last winners in 2010. The 2009 season, it was disputed. BYU and Utah State both claimed they had won it that year. But we've got to find it. We've got to, as it says down there, hashtag bring back the bucket.
Yes.
Because we got to find this, and we are going to, if we find it, make sure it gets to the champion this year. How about that?
Yeah, we'll make them another one if if it doesn't. Hoops HD has sent trophies to people before.
Let's go back. Let's go through through all the real conferences now, at least. Let's start things off with the America East. Rocco, let me start with you. The America East, you know, heading into the season, I was high on this Vermont team. I still think they're a good team, but they haven't shown me much. They got, they weren't really even as close to that 10-point loss of the game in Providence. I thought they'd show more in that game. And I think we're looking at a 16 seed, whoever comes out of this conference at this point.
Well, I think that's a tiny bit harsh, but yeah.
Okay,
maybe 15. could end up there. Stony Brook was supposed to be good. They've been extremely inconsistent, but a huge win over Hofstra just now for them. Vermont, opened the year with a bang with win at Northern Iowa. Northern Iowa's dealt with injuries and all sorts of problems, so we don't know where that win is going to land. Hopefully safely around a top 100 win, but we have no idea right now. I do think Vermont overall has the talent to compete. You know, they did battle back a little bit against Providence last night, just too little too late, lost by 10. New Hampshire, unfortunately tonight, without their star, Guadalajara, and they end up losing to Bryant, so that's disappointing. They have some promise. UMBC's had some promise, but yeah, there's not a team that's like fully established yet. I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, and I just don't. I really thought that we'd be at this point saying, "Oh yeah, Vermont's clearly the best team. They're going to dominate when we get to conference play." They may still
dominate.
I haven't seen that. I think that they are a lot closer to UMBC, New Hampshire, assuming they get healthy. Maybe even Lowell, who's been a little bit surprising, honestly, if you want to look for a nice sign in this conference. But Greg, there's the upcoming schedule. Vermont is at Brown this week. Is that the only game we're circling? I don't know what else you're looking at here.
Yeah, I still like Brown out of the Ivy League. We'll get to them a little bit better. That's really the only one that's jumping off the page for me.
Well, I would note that as we record this, UMBC is only down 8 at Georgetown at the half. So,
and another very disappointing showing by UMBC.
That was one they're supposed to get. Right?
Yeah.
David, let me stick with you. We'll move right along to the A-Sun Conference here. Where maybe kind of like the America East, we're a little bit disappointed that we're not seeing better non-conference from teams like Liberty and even Lipscomb, who got throttled by Miami tonight in a game that I thought they'd be competitive in.
I concur. Liberty has been disappointing, at least so far. You thought that maybe they were one of the better under the radar teams.
They did blow out Missouri, but
everybody's Missouri. Blowing out Missouri.
Yeah.
But they did blow out Mizzou. But Lipscomb, they had the big win early at Dayton. They have a really good front court. But again, not competing tonight. Gulf Coast has been kind of a pleasant surprise. But as far as, is anyone going to land inside the bubble? They're not. And do they do much better than the 15 line at the rate we're going? Maybe, probably not. I think Liberty would be, but does Liberty even win the conference?
I guess that's the question, Rocco. Does Liberty even win the conference?
I think they're the favorite. I know Missouri is probably one of the worst Power Five teams out there, but them blowing them out at home helped quite a bit. And, so I think that by the time we get into league play, they're going to get things sorted out. Darius McGee's still there, big time player. And then, at Lipscomb, they've gone their last four games without their star. I saw Asadula. He was not even on the trip at Miami today. So they got to get him back in the fold. There's really not a lot of information coming out about his status. As you know, when we get into the smaller the leagues you get into, the harder and harder it is to find out about the injury situation. So just hopefully he gets back soon for the Bison because they can be a contender. Another team I'm keeping my eye on in this league is Florida Gulf Coast. They have Kevin Samuel transferred over from TCU and some other really prolific experienced scorers. I think they can get hot, but they're trying to shake up a new style. They're shooting tons of threes and, you know, doing a lot of pick and pop with the big man, Kevin Samuel. So very interesting team, Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah, they got the upcoming schedule here. Gulf Coast is at Robert Morris coming up on Saturday. That's
a winnable game, really.
That's the game here. While Liberty has a game against Stephen F. Austin on Saturday, Look at this. They're hosting Kentucky on Monday night.
Kentucky Christian.
Lipscomb trip to Florida State next week, but they got a crosstown rivalry against Tennessee State on Sunday.
Kennesaw playing Saturday? Voorhees. Okay.
Hey, Jacksonville State is playing a ZZ Top song on Monday night. So what do you want?
Let's go. Not a ZZ Top song. How about that?
Rocco, Big Sky Conference, the only undefeated team among these under the radar programs and a team that actually got a little bit of love in the coaches poll. Weber State, 8-0 now. I believe they're playing tonight. Did we mention they are playing tonight? Wazoo played on tonight. So huge game tonight.
Real big game.
So that's their toughest test of the year tonight. And then they're rolling into some major home games. I think this came up on the last week's show where starting next Wednesday, they'll host Utah State, BYU, and Fresno State, all in Ogden. Very exciting for Randy Ray's program to have three brand name schools coming through like that. And major opportunity for a talented team. You know, so Kobe McEwen came down from Marquette, been a big impact player. Dylan Jones is probably the leader in the clubhouse right now for Big Sky Player of the Year, just playing lights out. And, you know, they went down to that Jersey Mike's tournament in Florida a couple of weeks back, and every single win was by double digits. So it's not like they were just squeaking out wins. This is a team that's got the ability to dominate opponents. And I think that gives them very, very high upside. You'll notice they've already entered the top 100 in KenPom, in fact.
Yeah, one of the discrepancies here is if you look at the what I call the merit ratings or the resume ratings, 20s and 30s, and then you get over to the predictive side, not so good. Now, this will typically even out. Either they'll play well against the four heavyweights they have coming up, and, you know, those predictive metrics will go up, or they'll lose all four of them and the resume metrics will go down. But I'm actually in on Weaver. I don't think they'll win all four. If they do, they'll be ranked in the top 25 and deservedly so, and way, way inside the bubble. But I think they can get one of these, one of the four definitely they have coming up. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and hey, I got to give them a shout out here. They're actually first place in two separate conferences as well. We saw already leading the Beehive and the Big Sky. I mean, can Duke even claim that? No. Can Gonzaga claim that?
Duke's not in a mythical conference. There's no Tobacco Road conference.
Can Baylor claim that? No.
No, Baylor. There's no Waco conference. There's a Beehive. There's a Big Five. A Front Range.
The upcoming schedule there is on the screen for this conference. The big games are the ones we already discussed, the Weber State games, as well as the game tonight involving Southern Utah and Utah Valley. But let's
Eastern Washington's trying to knock off their second Pac-12 opponent. They've already beat Washington State. They're up by two at Colorado with less than 3 minutes left. So
I got 2-4. Yes, as we record this, we'll be able to come back to this before the show ends. They're up one at Colorado with 2:40 left to play. I'm watching on Pac-12. East Washington at North Dakota coming from Saturday, so they put a little win streak together here too of winning a couple games here. Big South Conference though, and I'm up, John. I guess Rocco, I'm up to you here. The Big South Conference, Campbell's leading the way, 7-2 overall, though three of those wins are non-D1 wins.
I like Campbell. Okay. They took VCU to the wire on Saturday just this last week. They led for a lot of that game, actually. You know, I'm looking at the box score right now. They took a lead into the half, They led late, just couldn't close it out, lose by four. No real shame there. A win at Marshall in the first 2 weeks of the year was very impressive for a program like Campbell. And even the Duke loss was only by 11 at Cameron. So, you know, small sample size so far, but Campbell's been in all those tougher games they've had, and they've blown out pretty much everybody in their way besides the Stetson game, but that was on the road, 2-point win, 1-point win over Hartford, but that was first week of the season. So Campbell is very experienced. We talked with them a few times. I think they're as solid as you can get in the Big South. Another team I'm keeping my eye on, even though they did lose today, is Gardner-Webb. I think they've been kind of outperforming expectations. Not the greatest record right now, but continue to like be in games, play better. They almost beat UNLV in the season opener, for example. So for Big South standards, just trying to figure out who besides Winthrop is out there, I would say Gardner-Webb, Campbell, potentially Longwood, and if you want a real long shot, High Points had some surprising games where they played pretty well.
Winthrop also a nice win over Furman last night. I personally think that I think that some people, especially shut a puppet up, Chad, down there, Chad, were Chad, overrating Furman at this point in the season. But nice home win by 5 points for Winthrop over Furman. And I guess let's just take a quick moment here before we go any further, because I want to talk about one other game there that's on the screen that happened on Saturday. You'll see there Hampton 58, Norfolk 57, a crosstown rivalry. Yes. And if you did not see this, this was probably one of the best calls of the end of a game that I remember in recent times here. And in fact, I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. I'm going to stop the screen share here for a second and bring up a different screen share here.
This is remarkable.
Let's make sure the sound is on. Okay, if this works, it should be popping up on the screen right now. And if you didn't see this, just take a moment or two. It's only about 50 seconds long. We just got to watch this.
Yes.
Second free throw on the way. It's a 2-point ball game. Shot is
You're going to want to turn down your speakers.
No good. Pirates rebound. They've got 6 seconds. Haskett Jr. has to find somewhere. One. The shot. The miracle. The officials had to review it.
It has to get reviewed, but we know that shot got off in time.
Deuce D!
Wow!
Oh, jeez.
So who was it that made the shot?
That was amazing.
Deuce something or other?
Deuce.
Every now and then, every few years, you hear a call that you don't think will ever be topped, and then that's one of them.
Deuce Dean.
Deuce Dean.
If you missed it, if you didn't hear it, yes, it was definitely Deuce Dean. That was one of the most incredible last second shots you've ever seen. One-handed falling backwards with two guys around it. But I don't know how that ball went through the net, but those announcers were just incredible.
That was great.
Let's get the screen share back up here. I think we should have the Big South back up on the screen, and I'll just go ahead and throw up their upcoming schedule here. Take a look at Deuce Dean's next opponent. They're at William & Mary coming up here.
That's winnable.
Tomorrow night here at William & Mary. So,
yeah.
We got Winthrop versus Carver Bible on Saturday too.
Carver Bible College. We've got a Carver Bible College song.
In fact, we'll check in. Let's check in at Carver Bible real quick. They are 0-10. I don't think today's score is up there. No, they lost 85-43 to Georgia Southern tonight. So 0-11, but wow, only gave up 85 points to Georgia Southern. That is their best effort of the season.
Yes.
They're definitely getting better.
And keep in mind, they are getting better, and we want to make them eligible for the NCAA tournament, do we not, Chad?
Yeah, they're going to need about 6 or 7 more games.
Yeah, we're going to find them.
LIU just had a game canceled. Give these guys a call.
Yeah, we're going to find them. We are going to reach out to Carver Bible, maybe tonight. Well, maybe not tonight, but soon we will be doing this on the air.
Griggs, Big West Conference. We've got here You know, not much happened this week. It looks like everybody played non-D1 opponents or they lost games, but UC Irvine.
Finals week.
You know, UC Irvine and UC Santa Barbara still the two teams here.
Yeah, I think so. And I was big on Santa Barbara coming into the year, and I still am, but I'm starting to like this Eaters team more and more and more. Riverside's still a good story, but I don't think they have what it takes to keep pace with the two of them. I think it's a two-horse race.
Yeah, and maybe I don't know if we have anything even coming up this week here.
Rocco disagrees. Who else do you like?
I think it's a three-horse. I think Santa Barbara's still in the mix.
No, my two horses were Irvine and Santa Barbara.
Oh, okay. So Riverside's in the mix then. I think all three.
Oh, you think so? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, Riverside's solid. They're just falling a little short, but they did get the one big miracle win, so that kept them above water in terms of being over 500.
I agree with you. I think this Riverside team is there. The big game coming up Saturday. Two fascinating games Saturday. Irvine at Fresno, mm-hmm. Santa Barbara at St. Mary's.
Those are two big ones.
Real fascinating week this week in this conference. And then Irvine, by the way, goes to USC next Wednesday also.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wish the Santa Barbara St. Mary's game was later. It's unfortunately 4 o'clock local. Otherwise, I'd probably try to get there, but I don't think that time is going to work very well. But hey, we'll be watching. We'll figure out a way to watch it.
Oh yeah,
Rocco, over in the Colonial, we saw one of the biggest wins in maybe in James Madison program history with Virginia coming into town here, and it happened. The Dukes won the game.
It was a huge, huge deal. So they opened the arena, the Atlantic Bank Center, last year, and of course it was COVID, no fans. Hosted the CAA tournament. They got upset, even though they were the number one seed by Elon. So this was the biggest win by a mile they've ever had in that building. And kudos, first of all, to Tony Bennett for holding his commitment there. He could have easily backed out of that game. And he thought it was important to play it. You know, so Tony Bennett and his dad, Dick, come from the Wisconsin Green Bay program originally, where he played. And they get what it's like to be in a position like James Madison as an under-the-radar program. And very cool, kind of like what Roy Williams was doing at North Carolina for a lot of years, wants to play those types of games at least one per year locally. And so very, very cool that it even happened. And then on the other side of the coin, James Madison students filled that place 2 hours before tip-off. It was rocking, like, well before the game started. And they carried that momentum from tip to buzzer. And of course, Virginia offensively, tons of struggles. We'll talk about that on Monday. But JMU is a very solid team, and of course, very unfortunate that they're not going to be allowed into the tournament as an automatic bid. So this very likely could have made their year.
They still have they would still be on the board for me for an at-large bid, but. They probably can't. They may only have can lose one more game the rest of the way. Honestly.
Yeah, they need to blow through.
It's not realistic.
They need to blow through the. I mean, if they win out or lose one the rest of the way, I think it's realistic. But like anything short of that, it probably isn't. Now, to further Rocco's point about how great the students were, it's amazing they were still awake at halftime. Boring.
It was. Yeah.
It was. Camped out.
I believe Virginia had 14 points at the half in that game.
They did. It was
24-14 at the half.
Yeah. The last minute of the game actually got exciting, and that was probably it. That was the only part of watching. Go ahead, Rocco.
I was just going to say the Colonial, one of the reasons why it's unrealistic for James Madison is there's actually a lot of quality teams.
Oh, there are, yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm watching Towson, Ohio State. They're down by one at halftime. We also have a really quality Northeastern team. You have Hofstra, who's performed extremely well. You have Charleston, who just swept.
Love Charleston.
They just swept Tulane. Yeah, they're awesome. All newcomers at Charleston, didn't matter. He found players. So you got like five. Delaware was picked to win the league by I think the media. So you got at least six contenders. I think William and Mary is clearly the bottom of the league, but everybody else has a punching chance. So there's going to be a lot of beating up on each other when we get to conference play.
Yeah, you're right, Rocco. I just meant that I don't think they'll do it. That's why I thought they'd be there if they only lost one the rest of the way, because there is some good basketball in this league. Yeah.
Yeah, if they pull a miracle and string them all together, but it's a gauntlet.
Yeah, it is.
Here's an upcoming schedule. Interesting game Sunday, Davidson at Northeastern. Obviously, Elon is going to North Carolina on Saturday. That they might be over their head in that one. They'll then be.
How about Drexel go to Abilene Christian? There's a fun matchup.
Yeah, that's gonna be hard.
You're not gonna see the CAA go play a WAC team on the road very often.
That's a slightly interesting one. That might be worth tuning into. Even I think that.
They're pretty even. I think.
Abilene Christian's good.
They are,
relatively speaking.
Mm-hmm. Griggs, Conference USA. We've got the best record in the conference. It belongs to Florida International. But again, I think we've got to look at UAB and Louisiana Tech when we talk about this league.
Right. I mean, you have to look at FIU, but you also have to look at that strength of schedule, and that's not a stretch. It's been very, very weak. But to their credit, they have won the games. I don't know if this was by design or what, just to try and get that program used to winning. It typically isn't. But they are 8-1, and yeah, you got to look at that. Western Kentucky in that division been a little disappointing. I believe they lost tonight to Buffalo, or did they win? Buffalo won.
Just went final moments ago. It's not on the screen yet, but yes, Buffalo won.
Yeah, but the two teams I like are the top two in the West, UAB and Louisiana Tech, and I really like this UAB team. They've gotten out, they've played. A relatively good schedule. They've had success against it. If you pull them up real quick, Chad, what you'll see on this profile isn't anything of top 25 caliber as far as like the kind of wins that get you a protected seed. But
the nice win at St. Louis, though.
Have the nice win at St. Louis. They beat East Tennessee State, who's pretty good. Morehead State, probably a 20-win team. New Mexico, perhaps a 20-win team. So there's a lot of decent on there. And their losses, South Carolina is a bit of a head-scratcher, even though it was a road game. But San Francisco, no shame in that. And it was close. I remember watching that one. They had a chance to win that one.
And I got Louisiana Tech there up there on the right. Very similar. Nice road win at Santa Clara. They just picked up their losses at NC State, at Alabama. Nothing to be ashamed of. And it's, you know, they both have some chances, including UAB with that West Virginia game coming up, and La Tech with the LSU game coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And UAB got West Virginia to come down to them. So that's a win they're going to need to pick up to stay in the at-large conversation. And for La Tech, they're basically meeting LSU halfway. I think they're playing just outside of Shreveport. So that'll be good atmosphere. Really
yeah, that atmosphere is. I believe that West Virginia game is downtown. I don't think it's on campus, but it's still going to be a very partial UAB crowd.
Correct. And it'll probably be road game on the team sheet for
WVU. Yeah.
I think it does. I think my indications are so far as, you know, UAB controls the tickets and all that. I think.
Yeah, the home – court on the team sheet is determined by event management. UAB is managing the game.
The rest of the upcoming schedule, we also have Western Kentucky and Ole Miss coming up on Saturday, and UTEP at New Mexico on Sunday. That's not their rival. It's the wrong New Mexico. It's the big rivals of Mexico State.
It's not the I-10 war or whatever they call it.
Yeah, a sneaky fun game is next Wednesday, FIU at Jacksonville State, just because FIU really hasn't been tested. See what they can do down there in Anniston area, Alabama.
Yeah, they got a trip to Eastern Michigan before that, but Eastern Michigan is the bottom of the MAC, so
it's a long travel. That's a long travel.
It actually is from Florida. Rocco, over in the Horizon League, already into this 22 game conference regular season a little bit here. Oakland, the team we really like, but they suffered a tough loss, a tough heartbreaking loss against Bowling Green.
Yeah, seesaw battle. Bowling Green starting to get a little healthier. Figured it'd be tight. And Oakland, you know, tough schedule for them. They opened the Horizon League, started, I think that's where we got to start. Last week I was at the Cleveland State on Thursday, the Cleveland State Northern Kentucky game. But that's the whole league started that day. And for Oakland, they had to play Illinois Chicago Thursday, IUPUI Saturday, which obviously not a test, but they had to play, and then turn around Tuesday, get over to Bowling Green. So three road games in less than a week, not going to be easy for anybody. And Bowling Green, like I said, the toughest of the three on the back end of that. So really good ending there. Bowling Green able to squeak it out. Oakland still very, very solid. Jamal Cain, player of the year, early on in the league, just playing unbelievably at lights out. And I will say, just from, you know, my experience at Cleveland State last week, I was, I've always been impressed by Dennis Gates, but like the getting to meet him in person and talk to him for a little bit, and then just see all the things they stand for in a program and how hard they play defensively. They actually talked about how they work on annoying the other team. So they have a guy on staff that's like a, used to be a professional at annoying people, and he trained.
That's a profession.
It is.
Wow. So nice.
You got to look into this, Griggs. So, I was just super impressed. So they all compete over who gets the most steals, who gets those blocks, you know, who doesn't get reach in fouls. You get negative points for that. They have all their own scoring system for how it all goes down. So anyway, I was fascinating, and they're very, very fun to watch on defense. And every one of Northern Kentucky's threes in the first half of that game were contested. I was paying attention closely. So, I mean, it's just a really cool program, and what he's doing there and the culture. Shout out to those guys. They got a real shot to win it again.
Yeah, Oakland also very good. I think this is a two-horse race. I guess my question is, they like Oakland does have the win at Oklahoma State, so they did lift some weight, and it is hard to win at Bowling Green. But like I always say, yeah, that's a hard game to win, but it's hard to get inside the bubble too, and you have to win games that are hard to win. Is there enough there for Oakland? Like, do they have to run away from the league and get the win at Cleveland State? Or like, yeah, if you pull them up, because –
I have to beat the Spartans. They got Spartans on a neutral in downtown Detroit.
Yeah,
that's their next game. It's a couple weeks away, but it's their next game. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if they get that win, then we're not really having this discussion. I really think that the Bowling Green game was one they needed.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I like
Cleveland State's falling apart too. So
I like Cleveland State's resume better if they can win their next two games than I like Oakland. Yeah. Of course, that'll be at Oklahoma State and at Duke. But
well, yeah, I mean,
Oakland already won at Oklahoma State, so that would pull them even with them.
Pull them even, and then you win at Duke, and you think you move a little bit ahead. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Duke game will be interesting. I mean, hopefully they make it interesting.
Let's jump back over here, and there's the rest of the upcoming schedule for this week. But David, let's move right on over to the Ivy League, where Cornell is the team out to the 8-1 start, 6-1 against D1. Although I don't know that we saw much this week that really mattered. I don't know if I want to put it that way.
Yeah, Cornell, they were kind of in a dogfight tonight. I don't think they really did much. But off to the 8-1 start, and I've been kind of impressed with them. I've been big on Brown more so than the rest of the league, but I'm starting to look more and more closely at Cornell. I do like them by Ivy League standards.
I don't think Cornell played tonight, though. I'm not that
sure. They're down by 16 at halftime to Virginia Tech.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. I mean, okay, so you're right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I missed the game.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that does not constitute playing, I suppose.
Harvard, who we kind of felt like coming to the season, they'd be hosting the conference tournament. They struggled with Babson College on Monday night. And so I'm not liking Harvard's chances to even make the top four from what I've seen out of them so
really,
far.
I'm not really liking too many teams at all in this league. I really thought that this was going to be a strong league. I know that they didn't play last year. That's probably affecting them. But a league that we're used to seeing teams get close to the bubble in, I just don't think that's going to be the case this year.
Well, interesting on the upcoming schedule, other than the Penn LaSalle Big Five game, the Yale-Iona game on Sunday. That game is in Brooklyn, part of a quadruple header there. That's the nightcap of the quadruple header, believe it or not. So it's obviously the star game. If you forget about those power conference teams that are playing before them. But Yale and Iona and Rocco, maybe that's a good lead into our next conference, because our next conference is the Metro Atlantic and the Iona Gales.
The Iona Gales, carrying all that luggage with the Alabama win. And man, Iona had a great weekend, just from the simple standpoint that Alabama beat Gonzaga. That makes that win even more golden for the Gales. And so, you know, you look ahead, they got Yale, as you said, then they'll get Seton Hall at an event on the following weekend, which is another huge opportunity. I think that game's in the Garden as part of the Gotham Classic. And then another neutral game with Delaware right after that, which is kind of sneaky. Like, you can't just show up and beat Delaware. You got to be ready for that game. So That's how they're going to close out non-league. I also think the Metro Atlantic, especially the top couple of teams, been really impressed with Monmouth, for example. I don't think Iona is just going to roll through the league by any means. I think, historically, we all know these road trips and you're playing two at a time, typically, are not easy. And there's going to be probably some bumps in the road. So, how many bumps in the road can the Gaels have and stay in the picture? That'll be a big question. We talked about this, I think, a couple of weeks ago with the Monmouth example from 2016. So that's what's ahead for the Gaels, but they can give themselves more cushion, by beating Seton Hall in a week. And so there's a lot riding on these next few games here.
Don't overlook Yale, though. Don't overlook Yale. But go ahead, Griggs.
Well, yeah, we got to talk about Monmouth, too. I think they've kind of been, because they don't have Rick Pitino, and while they don't have a win against a team like Alabama, they do have a pretty damn good one at Cincinnati.
Right.
And, if you pull
– they've got the fascinating week. Their next three games, though – at St. John's, at St. John's, at Pitt, and at Yale, but I'll put both the teams up.
Yeah, they could win all three of those. Like winning at Pitt is a pastime all of a sudden. And Monmouth, that's a good profile. I mean, I'm not going to say it's as good as winning against Alabama and then a fairly decent Liberty team, but Towson, I think that's Towson's only home loss, and Cincinnati. Also a really good win, and they have the Johnnies. If they beat St. John's, they can get the next two. And then all of a sudden, what is that? That is eight true road wins. That's damn good. That's at large good.
And then they get a Hofstra home game, which is tricky after that too.
And the Colgate home game is a little tricky also. So don't overlook either one of those.
That'll help their metrics too. If
they
can pile up the wins.
They don't have garbage in the metrics other than what they'll get in league play at some of the bottom teams in this conference. And there are some garbage at the bottom, admittedly, but let's keep things rolling along here, and let's see, what are we up to? We are up to, Griggs, the Mid-American Conference. How about that?
Oh, love this league.
Okay.
I still like this Ohio team. I still think that when they play up to their ceiling, I think they're a tournament caliber team. I don't know if the metrics will be there or not, but I still like them to win the league. Toledo has been impressive as well. And a team that's kind of, I've kind of liked, they really let one slip. They've let one of these slip away, but much better than expected. Miami, Ohio,
though, they suffered that loss to Indiana State. And I guess, Rocco, this is my problem is, yes, Ohio got the win this week, but it was only by three over St. Francis, PA. Toledo got a win tonight, but at home by two over Bradley, who I don't expect to be at the top of the Missouri Valley. I'm not seeing these teams win in the fashion that I'd like to see them win, I guess.
I think that's fair. And I do think, Buffalo's the class of the league at this point. They've now won at two of the toughest Conference USA buildings. They won at North Texas earlier this year. And now they, of course, get the win at Diddle tonight over Western Kentucky. Kudos to them. I mean, that's a tough team. They lost on Saturday. I think we got to talk about this game on a last-second three by St. Bonaventure. That game was on its way to overtime. So the Bulls are pretty darn good, and they're not out of the conversation yet.
They really are, and I'm glad you mentioned them, Rocco, because you look at your record, and they're like, 3-3. But
Four, 4-3 now. West Kentucky is not yet on the screen.
Right. Oh, yeah. And when you look at their losses, they were competitive against Michigan. They lost on a last second shot to St. Bonaventure. So you're talking about two top 25-ish teams, both on the road. They were in both games.
Totally. And they got nipped by SFA by one in Mexico.
Yeah. And a couple of interesting games coming up this week. Saturday, especially, Toledo on the road at Richmond, Ohio on the road down in Stetson, who's been has a little more life this year than we normally see out of Stetson. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Miami, Ohio at Clemson coming up on Tuesday. And Buffalo is hosting St. John Fisher. Buffalo's got the test out of the way already. I'll give them a pass this week on that. But Rocco, over in the MEAC, Norfolk State, I was singing their praises last week. But for Deuce Dean, I would still be singing their praises. But they got burned by that, by the Deuce Dean miracle on Saturday.
They did. But I mean, heck of a start for, you know, Coach Jones and the Spartans program. Just the fact that they were that close to being 10-1. I mean, I know they've had a few non-D1s and a lot of lower D1 games, but, you know, they beat that Bowling Green team on the road in the beginning of the year. So they're doing a really good job of carrying the momentum of making the tournament last year forward into this year. And, you know, obviously a contender here in the league. I think another interesting story is Coppin State. You know, they've played the most ridiculous schedule, took another loss tonight, I think. But Juan Dixon's name keeps getting mentioned for the Maryland job. That actually came up a few more times by some prominent people today. So that's an interesting storyline developing out of Coppin. And then I think, you know, Howard, you know, with the amount of threes, the volume of threes they take, they have some wild results. They just beat American by 34 out of the Patriot League. But right before that, you know, got nipped by Mount St. Mary's and Austin Peay. So you don't know what you're going to get from Howard, but they can scare you. Like, just ask Villanova. I think when they play Villanova, they're only down like 2 or 4 at the half. So I'm really curious to watch more of this Bison team.
And you know, we've seen more life out of this conference than we normally do at this point. I mean,
yeah,
look, South Carolina State goes and wins at South Florida, an American conference team. Maryland Eastern Shore wins at Lehigh.
The fact that they're winning anywhere is remarkable.
These are road really wins by MEAC teams that you don't normally see at this point in the season. More blue there than we used to see in, you know, in December from the MEAC. I guess I'll put it that way. And only Delaware State without a D1 win. So maybe this conference is almost out of secondary contention for its last place team already.
Maybe, close to it. I think so.
Upcoming schedule here, if we want to take a look at Norfolk State, they've got a bit of a tougher test at Wichita on Saturday, but who knows? I think they could hang with it. And next Wednesday night, Howard at Georgetown, huge crosstown rivalry there.
Oh my gosh, that could be an all-time embarrassment. For Georgetown's had a lot of embarrassments. This one might take the cake.
Yeah,
to lose to another team from DC, you know.
Yeah.
Don't forget North Carolina Central hosting Carver Bible tomorrow night. Yet another chance for a Carver Bible victory.
Carver Bible College with the watch.
The tour continues.
David, the Missouri Valley Conference, maybe one of the more disappointing conferences top to bottom this year. But although Loyola Chicago, the metrics are there for Loyola. I'll give them that.
Yeah, and disappointing relative to what we thought this would be. I was expecting this to be a 4-bid league. And not that maybe if all of the stars align, they'll get 4. I mean, there are 4 teams in this league that are good enough to get in and that are playing the kinds of schedules you need to play to get in. And that just isn't happening. I think one of the teams that will get in is Loyola, especially if they keep winning at the clip they have been. DePaul, probably not the kind of win that gets you a protected seed, but still a really nice win on the road. And I think Loyola is going to be there. Drake has been kind of disappointing. Northern Iowa, we talked about them, or Rocco did, about how they're once again kind of beat up with injuries. And what is happening to Missouri State? My God, I just thought this was going to be a tournament team, and they're not even an NIT team.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it was BYU who Missouri State played. You understand the loss, but still, it's, you know, they've not performed up to where we thought they'd be. And, you know, Drake is a team that definitely has more than enough time to turn things around. They've got games against Omaha and Clemson coming up. I guess they're playing Omaha right now, and they are tied in the second half with Omaha as we record this, which is not good news for Drake. But I think you pull this one out. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Rocco.
I've got Drake down by 10 right now, actually, 39-29. I don't know what score you have, but either way.
Then they've made a run because I got a 41-41. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. You got me beat. But I did want to mention, you know, it came out right before the previous Drake game that Roman Penn is out again. And that's brutal. So they're playing with a couple freshmen now. It's not the same Drake team. They got to go play Clemson in Atlanta at that event, which is great that they got it on the schedule. But now, you know, it's must win, and you got to do it shorthanded, and you're in trouble against a terrible Omaha team. It's big, big, big trouble. And then I also wanted to just mention on Missouri State, you look at their wins. When they win huge. All of their wins are by 18 or more. Tonight they won by 26. So their metrics are crazy. They're in the top 70 KenPom. But all of their losses, they lose an OT to Illinois State, a tough loss to BYU, a one-point loss to East Tennessee State, and a narrow loss on the opener to SEMO. So, yeah, I mean, Missouri State's got to figure out how to win a close game because they know how to crush the metrics in their wins. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Let's get things rolling here. Jumping over to the Northeast Conference. Rocker,
where this league.
Wagner lost by 20 points to Penn State. That's going to be it for their top 50 net ranking, I think, probably by tomorrow. Maybe one more game just because they have so few games because of their COVID pause they had early in the season. But realistically, yeah. I think we're back to normal with the Northeast Conference where we just got to wait another month to get to conference play.
And I don't want to wait another month. Mm-hmm. This is a 10-team league. I think they should play a 27-game conference schedule.
They should do what the what we just criticized the Horizon League for doing. They should play more conference games.
Yes.
A little shout out for St. Francis, New York, getting their first win over a decent St. Peter's team on the road tonight.
Yeah.
That came out of nowhere. So congrats to
St. Francis, Brooklyn. We know they're going to let us know.
But they were right in it with St. John's when they played earlier this season. Actually,
they have shown some life. They were right in there. So.
Upcoming schedule here tomorrow night, Merrimack with the big test going cross country and getting hammered by about 50 points by Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Let's keep things moving right on along here. And David, Ohio Valley Conference, Belmont 8-3 behind Murray State 7-1, but Belmont is, I still think, is the class of this conference, especially if they win at SLU.
Yeah, let's pull them and Murray up because I want to touch on both of them. I am really big on this Belmont team. I know SLU is beat up with injuries, but they've still had a pretty good year despite that. Belmont went down there and won. And if you watch the game, Belmont was asleep for about the first 15 minutes. I want to say they were down 12 or 14. And on the road against the team that had been playing well, made adjustments to come back and win. I like this profile. They have the win over Iona. They got a win against Drake, which isn't looking as good now as it did at the time. So, again, it's one of those profiles with a lot of decent stuff on it, nothing great. They kind of let that game against Dayton get away. Had they won that one, I think that you got to start thinking about this as a possible bubble team. They still could get there. When you look at the rest of their schedule, I'm not seeing –
this next game is their toughest game left for Belmont, Rocco. Even though they get it at home, Chattanooga, a very good team out of the SoCon. On both these teams' schedules actually coming up this next week.
Murray State has gone to the pastry cart. They've got a really big test coming up. If they win at Memphis, which they could, Memphis has not looked the part really at all, then we'll really set up and take notice. But I don't know.
I'd actually been asking Rocco about it though, Griggs. But thanks for jumping in there.
Oh, you did. Sorry. I knew what he was going to say, and I said it. So go ahead, Rocco.
I agree with you, Griggs. Okay. Yeah. I think if Memphis continues to turn the ball over, which I don't see any trend showing they won't, I think they've had 20 plus turnovers in each of their 7 or 8 games. Murray State should be right in there. Now it's a big day. You know, Ja Morant plays for the Grizzlies now. He'll be sitting courtside wearing his Murray State blue and gold. Gonna be really exciting for everybody, especially in the racer program. And I think the three of us know how well they travel as fans and Memphis as fans. Obviously they usually do really well attendance wise anyway. But with this 3-game Memphis losing streak, I think the first sign of trouble in that game on Friday, it could get real loud from the Murray State section and make that game pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These two teams play each other January 15th at Belmont, February 24th at Murray. Again, Belmont gets by that new Chattanooga game again. We may be looking at February 24th as their next chance to lose a game. Just throwing that out there. But let's see here. Rocco, let me go over to you here for the Patriot League. You know what? I skipped the upcoming schedule. Let me quickly throw up the week's schedule here in the Ohio Valley. I think we talked about the most important games here, but for those that want to actually see the schedule, you can take a quick look at it here. Morehead State at Xavier next Wednesday, another game may be worth circling. Actually, Morehead at East Tennessee before that.
Yeah, big stretch coming up for Morehead. They won the conference last year, got off to a bit of a sluggish start, but it was against a hard schedule. I think they've won, is it 6 or 7 or something like that? So on a roll, but I don't know. If they win the next two, then talk to me. Until then, I think it's two horses.
They can win. The next one, I think, is be nice. It's a very even game. I think they're in over their heads a little bit with the trip to Cincinnati there.
Yeah.
Unless they could save you off of, you know, maybe coming off of, you know, paying too much attention to the crosstown shootout this weekend with Cincinnati. And
yeah.
Rocco, here's a comes with a ton of red, though, in the right-hand column there with a lot of losses in the Patriot League.
Yeah, well, you know, overall, they've stepped up a tiny bit from last year just in terms of the top-to-bottom metrics.
They're doing way better. They've way more non-conference wins this year than they did last year. I got to give them credit for that.
Nice one. Nice one. Holy Cross is really, 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 really bad. I just want to throw that out there. I don't think they've come within 10 of a D1 school yet. So that's holding them down quite a bit. American getting blown out by Howard. Not good. But I do see some potential. Navy, a disappointing loss last night after a hot start. I thought they were capable of beating George Mason. George Mason had a 5-game losing streak. Navy fell short by 6. Colgate might be on their way back to taking control. They did fall short, though, and get beat by Niagara. There's been some head-scratchers even at the top of the league. Loyola Maryland gave St. Bonaventure a pretty good run tonight. They actually had the lead at halftime. Hit a bunch of threes. So, yeah, things are all over the place. You know, the Leopards beat Rutgers, but they haven't really beaten anybody since. So, yeah, I think things are up for grabs. Boston U, just one last team to throw out there, 4-game winning streak after tonight's win over UMass Lowell. So they probably are playing the most consistent basketball at this point.
Yeah, and the upcoming schedule, not many games, but Colgate at Pitt third tomorrow night. Maybe the game worth circling here because and then they go to St. John's over the weekend. Two games that if they're the team that we thought they were heading into the season, at least they should be competitive in those games. If they get blown out in those games, then it's going to be a very, very long year for the Patriot League as they head towards a 15 or 16 seed for their tournament champion, unfortunately. Just quick swap rate depth, by the way. We're talking about that Eastern Washington team. They did lose that game at Colorado this evening by a couple, by 3 points. So good effort, but not quite enough. David, the SoCon, we already mentioned Chattanooga a little bit. Let's focus a little bit more in on them here because we've got a conference here that they look like the best team to me in a conference where, unlike seeing a lot of red, we're seeing a lot of blue. We're seeing a lot of wins this past week.
Yeah, the SoCon, normally a really good league, normally one of our favorites. I don't think we were expecting it to be this year, but look at this. And everybody but one team, and that's VMI, is at or above 500 in this league. And for an under-the-radar league at this juncture, playing the kinds of schedules that a lot of these teams have played, that's pretty good. Now, Chattanooga, if you pull them up, let's pull them up. Cammy Chad, they got the 7-1 record. One of the things is that while their wins, I don't want to say that they've been quite pastry cart. They haven't really been in the top quadrant either. At least I don't think from memory.
At VCU.
They got the win at VCU. But again, it's not easy to win at Lipscomb. They got that one. They were competitive.
At 5 true road wins.
Yeah. And that's pretty good. Now, coming up, that game against Belmont, I know we just talked about that from Belmont's standpoint. Their next two are massive. I think, after they get by Tennessee Wesleyan, their next two D1 games are massive, at Belmont and at Murray. Those are teams that are going to probably lose a combined total of two or less games at home. So if Chattanooga could go in there and get one or even both of them, even though that those might not be quad ones, those are the kinds of wins that the committee will notice. And after talking to the chairman and to David Warlock, we'll make sure they notice them.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, as they sit right now, those are both would be quad one wins. They may not be at the end of the day, though. Rocco, they pulled up a team on the right here at Mercer, though. Not that they have a profile worth mentioning, but this past week they beat Georgia State, a team we really liked out of the Sun Belt. Then they won at Coastal Carolina, who'd been really playing well out of the Sun Belt as well. Starting to take a little notice of the Bears?
Always. Yeah, Greg Gary runs a great program. Neftali Alvarez is still there. Now, here's the thing I'm concerned about. Alvarez got hurt in the second half of the Coastal game,
right,
and they saw him with a boot on. Boot can mean a lot of things. Sometimes they should take that thing off the next day. Other times it can mean a whole season's worth of problems. So it
can mean amputation.
And I was hoping to get an update before the show. I had a feeling we were going to talk about Mercer. Unfortunately, I haven't heard back from them. But and hopefully he's okay, because Georgia Southern coming up at home. It's a local rivalry game. Should be a good atmosphere. But Mercer playing well. I think they got a shot to finish top four in the league. You know, East Tennessee State is up there as well. They won their tournament. We talked about that last show. And of course, East Tennessee's got Moorhead Saturday as well. So there's some good little stories brewing in the SoCon as usual. I also think, you know, Furman, even though they lost last night, got to give Jalen Slauson a little bit of a shout out. He became the first Paladin in history to have a triple-double in the losing effort. You know, Furman's a talented team.
Yes.
That keeps going to overtime, and they win some and they lose some. And it's really frustrating, because if you're good enough to win at Louisville, you know, why are you having to lose to Winthrop?
Let's go ahead and maybe remember that there is an asterisk of the Louisville win. It was a game without Chris Mack. Louisville's head coach was not there, and we knew that they were going to. They only lost one game without him. We figured that's about what they would do without him. So,
Last time I checked, Chris Mack's averaging 0 points a game.
What position does he play, Chad? How many minutes does he load?
I'm not writing Furman off entirely. I think Furman is third, fourth, fifth type place in this conference. They're a good team. I like really Chattanooga and East Tennessee State at the top here. I do like this Mercer team. I think this Wofford team is competitive. I don't know about Samford or Western Carolina like at this point, but I do like this conference a lot so far. I'll put it that way.
Me too.
And Rocco, over in the Southland Conference, here's a conference I don't like, but maybe we should spend a moment on Corpus Christi again. We did last week, or should we talk Nichols is probably the better team?
Nichols is
the better team. Well, Nichols has the more talent for okay. sure. Corpus Christi, a nice story brewing. They're actually in action tonight in their back in their second half of their rivalry.
That's gone final. They won. They beat UTRGV by 6 points.
They make them
8-1 overall.
What do they call that trophy, by the way, down there?
That's a trophy.
It should be. I mean, it was they play twice
in Corpus Christi and Rio Grande Valley.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we'll have to look into that. But 8-1 under Steve Lutz.
The Rio Corpse.
The Rio Corpse. So anyway,
Islanders first Stalika when you need them.
Look as good as you can find, of course, in this league. Now, here's the kicker on the Southland. The first time I think I've ever seen it, maybe the first time it's happened, but they're the worst conference in America. They're
deservedly so, though, honestly.
They're officially below the SWAC and the MEAC right now in Kempom. Conference race. So yikes. Sela had a nice win. I remember they beat Troy on the road. So good job for Sela. That's a nice win for them.
Yeah. I mean, Corpus Christi now with 5 D1 wins. The rest of the conference has 6 combined.
It's treacherous out there.
Yeah. They're on their way. Is there any chance that this team gets inside the first four or this conference? I don't think so.
Another score update. Score up there. Their McNeese did lose at Louisiana tonight as well. So throw another loss up there for the conference. Corpus Christi at Omaha on Saturday, then at Minnesota on Tuesday. Maybe we circle the Tuesday game, especially if they win at Omaha. Maybe we start getting serious about the Islanders. Who knows? Sure. This may be our feature conference next week if the Islanders go 2-0.
It better not be.
Just that it's going to be. The SWAC, Griggs.
Okay.
Let's talk Texas Southern. Well, let's talk Texas Southern.
There is a team worth talking about here. Texas Southern got their first win of the year at Florida by, and at one point in the second half, they had a 20-point lead. Mm-hmm. This was almost as stunning as the Evansville win at Kentucky a few years ago. I forget, was that 18-19 or 19-20 when that happened? But considering how far apart the two teams appeared to be, and that combined with the margin of victory and the way that they won, I was astounded at that.
Well, I'll tell you what, other than the Louisiana Tech and the BYU game, they've been in all the games they've been playing this year. Texas Southern has been competitive. I think Johnny Jones has a team. I mean, this team always wins the SWAC. They're always in the NCAA.
Yeah, tournament. I mean, I certainly like them better than anyone else in the conference. Look at that profile. One win, and it's quad one, and then everything else is...
but everything else is 1-2 and 3 on the road. They're not losing home games. Home games to Southland teams. Go ahead, Rocco.
That's right. They almost did beat Washington. I remember that now.
Yeah, I mean, they're offensive rebounding machines. 12th in the nation at offensive rebounding rate. 38% of their misses, they get their own rebound. It's impressive to see them crash the boards. And again, you combine a team that has all the hunger in the world at Florida against a disinterested, and this is the same thing that happened with Washington, by the way, a disinterested Power Five team, and you get one team that's hustling and one team that's not, that can make up a huge gap of the talent difference. And that's exactly what we saw on Monday. That's what we almost saw when they played at Washington. They also had a couple other close ones. They only lost by 8 to NC State, for example. Yeah. So yeah, I'll give the program credit. They play with tremendous energy and effort day, night in and night out, no matter
what. It was remarkable. I can't believe that I was shocked, and I'm also surprised that I was the only one that was kind of surprised. It wasn't that, like, Florida had beaten Ohio State and Florida State. They actually beat Florida State badly. So it wasn't as if their ranking of 20th was based on some sort of preseason guess that was wrong. I mean, there were reasons to rank them that high, and Texas Southern just went in and really kicked the crap out of them. It wasn't like, you know, they hung around and hung around and hung around, and somehow at the end of the game they were ahead. They blew them off the floor.
Well, I want to talk about one other team, though, quickly before we move on. Southern University.
Yeah, they've had some good games, too.
They hung around with Kentucky last night. It was a 10-point game. They never made that second-half run, but they were in a position to make a late run that could have made it into a very interesting game. They've been a lot better than I thought they would as well. On the upcoming schedule, you see a lot of bye games here. You see some power conference teams on here. And we see not a single home game on here as well. This is the way this conference works this time of year. Texas Southern actually has a later week. They've got a trip to Texas Rio Grande Valley, I guess, is the
they should win that one.
Oh, actually, Southern has a home game against Southeastern Louisiana. Maybe that could be a good game. Let's keep things rolling here. A couple more conferences. The Summit League, Rocco, South Dakota State is a team that we all really like here. Although they didn't do much this week. I think they just played a non-D1 game.
Yeah, I think the team that we should mention here. Actually,
I'm sorry. Let me put an asterisk on South Dakota State before we go any further. As we record this, they're down 4 late in the second half in Idaho.
That might be
a complete collapse for the Jackrabbits, but go ahead, Rocco, now, please.
That's amazing. Well, Idaho, you know, they almost knocked off Southern Utah over the weekend, so they're getting better, especially in that new beautiful building they get to play in.
Great building.
You know, it is a great building. So I do want to call out a team that really deserves some recognition, the Western Illinois Leathernecks, off to their best start in decades, 8-2. The more impressive thing, you can look at the two teams they beat Saturday and Sunday, Tennessee Martin and Central Michigan, kind of roll your eyes, lower D1 type of ranking teams. But the impressive thing about that was they played Martin at home, and then they went up to Mount Pleasant and beat Central Michigan the next day. Very weird schedule where they had a home game and a road game the next day. They won both games, blowouts, total blowouts. They also blew out Ball State. They hammered Miami, Ohio. This team's got some really good talent under Rob Jeter. You know, so it's a team that I've had my eye on ever since the opener when they beat Nebraska on that late shot.
They won that bye game at Nebraska.
Yeah, they did. They won that bye game at Nebraska. This team's for real, I think. And I think South Dakota State's going to have their hands full with these guys.
I 1,000% agree. And it's weird to be saying that about Western Illinois. It seems like they're a sub 250 team that once or twice a year has a remarkable moment. And it's kind of hard to get used to the idea that they might be one of the two best teams in the conference, but they might be one of the two best teams in the conference.
Absolutely.
South Dakota State is going to go 8 miles away from Idaho to Washington State. Oh, actually, Spokane. Okay, they go a little further to get to the Washington State game on Saturday. But
they got gypped. Yeah.
But why is that in Spokane?
I can explain that real quick. So Washington State, their next two games will be in Spokane. So once the kids leave for winter break, they get a lot bigger attendance when they play in Spokane during the break. So they'll do that. They haven't done it in a while, but now that Kyle Smith's there, he's figured that out, which is smart.
Okay.
Western Illinois looks like they actually have the week off. So we won't be talking much about them next week in terms of any games that they're playing. But South Dakota State, as I said here, is in a little bit of trouble as we record this. And that's not how you want to start this road trip that you're then going to end with the trip to Missouri State next week as well. So
The other serious problem here is that ESPN does not have the score of the clock on the screen. This is just not acceptable.
The Sun Belt Conference, David. We're seeing these teams win. I just don't know that anybody separated themselves from the pack in this league at this point.
Yeah, they haven't. We've seen them win, but we haven't really seen them win any games that make any sort of definition as to what kind of teams they really are. South Alabama hung with Alabama. It was hard to not be impressed with that. I still like Georgia State, although that's highly because of me supposing that they're good without really being able to point to anything on their paper yet that they are. I don't know. Like, I almost wish you would have gone the Rocco, because what do I think of this league? I'm still trying to figure it out. I have more question marks than answers.
Well again, Coastal Carolina, they beat Winthrop. They lose at home to Mercer. Maybe we just look at the standings right here. Look at the ratings and say South Alabama and Texas State.
Yeah, you know, I'm really impressed with South Alabama, but they've had squeakers. I know they have good talent. They're starting to win by wider margins finally. They did win at Jacksonville State by 10 on Saturday. That was pretty impressive. They got a weird schedule where they're going to play back-to-back Tarleton games, one of them in Mobile, one of them in Stephenville. So we'll see if they can survive that Tarleton squeeze of the shot clock milking. That's going to be brutal to play that team twice. But I am impressed with the talent they brought in, and I think they've got some real potential if South Alabama gets into the NCAAs to knock off a high talent team, because they can match it. Louisiana, same boat with that. They've really struggled. They've been disappointing, but starting to get a little bit back on their feet in the most recent weeks. And then I would say Texas State, as I said, you know, since the start of the year in the Sun Belt preview, definitely the best defensive team. And if you have the best defensive team in your league, you're going to be right there to win the tournament. So they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, Texas State doesn't have much trouble this week. They've got Southwestern and Lamar. Maybe the game we're circling here Tuesday. Louisiana's at Houston. I think they're over their heads that game.
Overhead.
Really are.
But let's see how well they play against a team like Houston.
Totally.
David, the WAC. We mentioned at the beginning there Utah Valley's huge win, not even on the screen because it was last Wednesday over BYU. We've got some impressive overall records here at the end of the day, though.
Right. And, you know, we thought that this game had been giving an infusion of really good programs, and they have SFA pretty good so far. I mean, a lot of their wins have been sub D1, which you kind of wish they would play better opponents, but still 7-2 overall. New Mexico State, always good. Grand Canyon, always good. They're only lost the one home loss to Wyoming. The one thing, though, is just like New Mexico State did have that really nice win at New Mexico, but they don't have, like, when you look at a lot of the teams that we talk about, Belmont, Iona, Monmouth, teams that, you know, we think that could land inside the bubble, Loyola Chicago. They don't have anything like that. No, none of these teams really do yet.
Yeah, I pulled New Mexico State up there on the left. That should be loading in just half a second here. They do have the win at UTEP and the win at New Mexico they picked up this past week. They've beaten Irvine, Rocco.
How about that shot?
That was an incredible win.
Unbelievable buzzer beater. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lopes on the right there only losses to Wyoming, but they still haven't beat anybody.
Yeah, but it's just too much of a pastry card. And yeah, Grand Canyon is an awesome arena. I wouldn't want to leave it either, but you have to. Like, you have to go out and play.
They're going to go a couple miles down the street to Tempe and play Arizona State. An Arizona State team that's still trying to find themselves. So it's a real opportunity for the Lopes to own the region with a win there.
Yeah, right. And they've got
– and you also got, if you want to just go through some of the other matchups, Liberty and SFA in Dickey's Arena this Saturday. That will be a fun under-the-radar game. And then New Mexico State going to LMU. LMU trying to find themselves. Can New Mexico State get another road win? And then I already mentioned Drexel, Abilene Christian, which is very interesting. And we have Utah Valley, Southern Utah going on right now. So a lot of fun matchups in this league. Seattle University also playing UNLV in Mandalay Bay tonight. How about that?
Yeah.
The UNLV's got a couple games at Mandalay Bay coming up this week. Southern Utah is actually up on Utah Valley late as we record this. But if Utah Valley can come back and win it, another huge win for the Beehive Conference. And I guess we got to show it out there. David, Utah Valley at Wyoming Saturday. That is a Beehive Front Range cross-conference rivalry. We should get a conference challenge series.
Challenge going between the Beehive and the Front Range.
And here's the Front Range right here. We got to check in on them with that impressive top three teams there, all from the Mountain West.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty incredible.
24-1.
Oh yeah. Colorado State is legit. The vote, they haven't cracked the rankings yet. I figured it would be early December. I think they're in there next week, and I think they stay there all year long after that.
Coming up later tonight as we record it here on Wednesday night, again, Wyoming is at Arizona, but I think we do have
Wyoming's getting blasted by Arizona as we speak. So
there are not any Front Range games on the schedule for this week, though. But let's run over to our top 10 list. What we do is we each submit our top 10 teams among these under the radar teams. I cross country score them. We rate them. We've got a handful of honorable mentions. First, these are teams that received votes but did not make the top 10. Monmouth, Louisiana Tech.
Monmouth.
Utah Valley, James Madison, and of course, Hampton's announcers getting an honorable mention.
Duskeen.
Now coming in here, number 10, Oakland. Despite the loss, still in our top 10, barely so. Two-way tie for eighth place between South Dakota State, again, before this Idaho game.
Who are the Eaters? Eaters staying in there,
And the Irvine is in there as well.
Underrated.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Tied for sixth, we got Ohio and Chattanooga.
Chattanooga could make a huge statement in the next week.
Absolutely. UAB coming in at number 5 out of Conference USA. And Weber State, undefeated, but only number 4. Three teams ahead of them, despite the fact they haven't lost a single game as of the moment that we've all voted, at least. Number 3, Belmont.
This team.
Yeah. A huge Nuga Belmont game coming up. Is a big one. Loyola Chicago coming in at number 2. And I don't think there's any surprise at number 1. It is Rick Pitino's Iona Gales. On that note, though, let me go ahead and turn this down and take it down and run through each of you for any final thoughts. So, Rocco, let me start with you.
Yeah, you mentioned Chattanooga, those two opportunities coming up. I think it would be incredible for them to sweep those. But just getting 1 out of 2, I think, keeps them in the conversation, at least for potential, at-large consideration. The SoCon, most likely, this is a little similar to James Madison, but not as dire, because I do think Chattanooga is going to win at least 14 games in the SoCon. It's just a matter of what can they do with those last 6. Can they win? Can they get up to 16 or 17 wins? I think if you win 16 or 17 games at the SoCon and you have quality road wins out of the league, which Chattanooga will have, with a sweep or even a split this next week, they should be considered. I think it would be really similar to what East Tennessee State did in the first COVID season when we didn't get a tournament. So I'm pulling for the Mocs.
I'm with you. I should actually be having a chance to get down there to Chattanooga in a couple of weeks. Hopefully they'll get to one of their games too. Try to hit the East Tennessee State game. Should be a huge one. But David, you want to finish things up?
Yeah, we're going to have fun with this all year long. And it's not that this is anything new. I just think that at least I am becoming fully aware of it, even more so than I was before. I've currently got the Utah Valley Southern Utah game on, and it is this, the arena is bonkers. It isn't, it's basically packed. There's a few empty seats, but it's loud. Utah is a state that loves its college basketball and hates all of the other teams in Utah, and it is magnificent. I am so happy that we have the Beehive Conference that will be tracking it and that the winner gets this magnificent edifice.
Hashtag bring back the bucket. Yeah. Tweet it out, folks. We are going to find it. We are going to award it. This is our mission here at Hoops HD. Yeah. If it takes us, you know, the next 10 seasons to get there, we're going to do it. But on that note, I do want to take the chance to thank everybody for joining us. We'll be back again next week with Monday night with a Hoops HD report, Wednesday night with another Under the Radar. But on behalf of Rocco Miller, check him out at bracketeer.org, David Griggs. If you're following him on Twitter, unfollow him, block him, mute him, whatever. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to you again real soon.